You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening, but you can do more than that. You can be a part. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's the phone line. It's a text line. And love it when you are a part of this fine production. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. We're going to get some national topics this hour. And of course, don't forget the end of the show. We like to wrap it up with, tell us something good. Give you plenty of time to prepare. I kind of forget about it sometimes, but at the end of the show, at 5:50, we're going to talk about something good, end the day on a positive note. I kind of touched on this topic a little bit yesterday. I want to dive a little bit more into it because there's been some interesting reporting and statistics out that I think kind of accentuates the point. NBC News is reporting, when the pain hits home, Republicans balk at Trump's spending cuts and tariffs. Weird how that works, right? Which it just stopped the blue state. You know, keep the money coming over here. From reducing NIH funding to slashing U.S. AIDS food program to imposing new tariffs, GOP lawmakers are beginning to speak out carefully against some of Trump's actions. Well, and I think carefully, perhaps, given who you're dealing with, but your constituents really should be the ones that you are worried about. A little bit from the reporting here, as mentioned, from cuts to healthcare and agriculture funding to fears of new tariffs negatively impacting local industries and consumers, Republican lawmakers starting to push back against certain aspects of Trump's plans. Yeah, when it affects their states. And they are doing so carefully, acknowledging that voters want to shake up business as usual in the nation's capital and wanting to avoid Trump's ire.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were just going to shake things up in Washington. I didn't think it was going to affect me.
May I have some more?
Please.
Please, sir. May I have some more?
And shaking up business as usual. And then when I see that and I hear that, I get that. Do you know what that means, though? That's the thing. Okay.
No.
As business as usual. Well, if the NIH and the USAID and the tariffs and all these things that we are currently in, it was business as usual and Trump is doing these things to change them, certainly that's changing business as usual. But what did you think was going to happen? Well, now it's going to perhaps affect you. We mentioned Senator Katie Britt from Alabama yesterday. She recently pushed back on the administration's funding reductions under the NIH. The University of Alabama at Birmingham is a major recipient of that money, which has helped make it the state's largest employer. What? A woke-ass university edumacating people is the state's largest employer? Are you kidding me? Alabama? Wow.
Dub, I didn't think the leopards would eat my face.
Right. Britt told AL.com that a smart, targeted approach is needed in order to not hinder life-saving, groundbreaking research at high-achieving institutions like those in Alabama.
That's usually a sentence I hear.
No, I know. It's like when you think of like, the smartest people ever, the great education system in Alabama. It's not something
Isn't
that...
Isn't Alabama like 48th?
I think they're like 51st, but... That includes Canada. No, I'm just kidding. But wait, there's more. Republican Senator Susan Collins from Maine said a cap on indirect costs under the NIH grants were poorly conceived and would impose arbitrary cuts in funding for vital research at our Maine institutions. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, we got like, $65 million at the University of Madison.
That's correct.
That would be on the hook.
Is Senator Collins concerned?
Well, she's concerned about Maine, and Senator Britt is apparently concerned about Alabama, and we're concerned here, as I heard Governor Tony Evers talk about the $65 million that apparently Republican Assembly Speaker Robert Voss says, too bad, so sad.
Yeah, did see something about that.
Yeah, suck it up. But let's stay on the Republicans now. So we got Alabama, the Republicans in Alabama. We got the Republican senator in Maine. Oh, another one. Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana warned that universities that cut big endowments would lose out on the will lose out the most due to the NIH cuts. Quote, it'll be very difficult for them to conduct this research. And so, of course, I want people in Louisiana to benefit from research dollars and for it to not all go to Massachusetts and California, Cassidy said. So I am in active conversation with my folks back home and am researching the issue. Weird. Everybody wants that money to come to their state and not the all the other states? It's
You know what I haven't heard, though? I haven't heard any senators, any lawmakers, any governors of blue states saying, hey, give us the money and don't give it to the red states.
Right, right.
It's been, hey, don't take any of our research funding because we all do better when we all do better.
Everybody, and that's Republican states and Democratic state. That's why we have the business as usual the way they have it. You don't have somebody like Elon Musk or Donald Trump, you know, picking and choosing. Yes, Alabama, you get it, and Madison, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be wrong. I think that would be wrong. But here's some of the statistics I referenced earlier from once again NBC News. Among the top 20 states that take more money from the federal government than they send in tax payments, among the top 20. 13 are solidly red states that voted for Trump in the last three elections, according to an analysis by the Rockefeller Institute of Government of the fiscal 2024 budget. Of the top 20 states that take more money than from the federal government than they put in, 13 of them are solidly red states.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, the top five states and nine of the top 10 that send more money to the Treasury Department than they receive back voted for Democrats in the last three presidential elections.
Fascinating.
I'm going to say that again for Eric Hovde. He had to listen last hour. He got to talk slow for the man. He lost his mustache. The top five states and nine of the top 10 that send more money to the Treasury than they receive voted for Democrats in the last three presidential elections. And to your point, Jess, you don't hear those five states and the nine of the 10 saying stop sending money to the red states.
No.
You don't hear that.
And you're not gonna.
Another imperative for Republicans in rural areas is to protect farmers who rely on the federal government as a major customer. We talked about the federal, the farmers not so long ago. The Triple C Act, this New Deal era that Donald Trump tapped into when he got in the trade war last time with China and they stopped buying out billions of dollars in agriculture. Well, he went to the CCC, I forget what it stands for, but and this thing has like unlimited money. You can just take what you want out of it because it's for agriculture. It's very important. Of course, food is important, some say.
Some say.
Donald Trump, when he was losing that last tariff war, trade war, tapped into that and gave those farmers, what, $16 billion plus another $12 billion, $28
billion.
Total. Not a bailout, just cash check. There you go. So as NBC references, yes, it's also imperative that the Republicans protect the farmers who rely on the federal government as major customer.
It's imperative on all of us.
The U.S. Agency for International Development, which Trump and billionaire advisor Elon Musk have targeted for dismantling, administers the Food for Peace program, under which the government buys and distributes American crops to help fight hunger around the world. I mean, can you get more woke than fighting hunger around the world? What about hunger here at home? I mean, have you seen Trump? Doesn't look like he missed a meal. A coalition of Republicans in rural states and districts, including the House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, introduced legislation this week to save the Food for Peace program by transferring it to the Department of Agriculture. Again, sliding it over from one spot to another. Don't know if that really accomplishes what you think it's going to accomplish. But a quote from Rep. Tracy Mann, a Republican from Kansas. For 70 years, Kansas and American farmers have played an active role in sending their commodities to feed malnourished and starving populations around the world. Wait, there's a Republican saying that? Why would you do that? Sounds pretty woke. What a waste of money. This free gift from the American people is more than food. It's diplomacy and feeds the most vulnerable communities. Rep. Tracy Mann, a Republican from Kansas, said. That doesn't sound very Republican.
No, but you know what that does sound like? That sounds like exactly what Jim Santel was talking about when he was on last Friday, talking about his own experiences with USAID. That this is about more than just food. This is diplomacy.
Soft power.
Soft power. Yeah, yeah. And it's also supporting our agricultural businesses here.
Right, which we need to do, which we're already doing. What are you going to pay the farmers to make the food and throw it out? Well, that's what Trump's
doing right now.
That's what he's doing right now. Like $500 million is going to rot in the warehouses because why? Because Trump said so? A little more here. Man, the aforementioned Republican from Kansas, whose office said the program has fed more than 4 billion people in more than 150 countries, introduced a bill with Thompson and a couple other reps. The Trump tariffs of awful also ruffled feathers among some of his otherwise solid allies on Capitol Hill. Chuck Grassley, Republican senator from Tennessee, the Senate pro tem and chair of the Judiciary Committee, who protested when Trump threatened to levy tariffs on imports from Canada, citing Biden inflation, unless you mean Biden inflation, noted the high cost of fertilizer, asked for an exemption that protects Iowa farmers. I plead with President Trump to exempt potash from the tariff because family farmers get most of our potash from Canada, he wrote on X. I'm a free and fair trader, and the president was elected on a proposition of trying tariffs out. If they're for negotiation, we'll see how they work. If they work, I'll applaud him. If they don't work, I'll tell you I told you so. Well, how does that... Grassley, how does that help your constituents one iota?
It don't.
I told you so. Vote for me. Jesus. Kentucky's two Republican senators, Mitch McConnell, who's apparently getting some, I don't know, backbone in his old age.
No, he's not.
No,
it's performative on votes that he knows are going to pass.
Then why do it at all? I mean, what? Is he seeing his maker say, oh, Lord, look what I did on that one. Kentucky's two Republicans, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, have also objected to the tariffs, warning that they'll drive up costs for Americans, including Kentuckians, because, of course, those guys, those are the most important Americans. In an opinion piece Wednesday for the Louisville Courier-Journal, McConnell warned that slapping tariffs could have negative consequences for our state's 75,000 family farms and sell their crops around the globe.
Thanks, Turtle Man.
Or the hardworking Kentuckians who craft 95% of the world's bourbon, or our auto industry. Oh, yeah, the auto industry. We're going to talk about that next. McConnell wrote, in Kentucky, local store owners are already hearing about the suppliers' prices going up. One estimate suggests that president's tariffs could cost the average Kentuckian up to $1,200 each year. And it's not just about rising prices here at home. During the last Trump administration, retaliatory tariffs from trade partners set off a broader trade war that hit wide swaths of American industry, from agriculture to manufacturing to aerospace and motor vehicles to distilled spirits, bourbon. Already, Canada announced retaliatory measures that take direct aim at Kentucky's production, targeting products like peanut butter and whiskey. A little more from Rand Paul. We'll get to that as well. These are Republicans that are all down with Donald Trump and Doge and Elon Musk, except when it comes to their states. Because they know. Republicans know. Their constituents, you better know. 855-752-4842. Going to come back. More of this and your calls as well.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Just PS working hard on the board, DJing the tunes. Take a number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That's the only number you need to know, at least until 6 o'clock. Also, coming up in the last segment of the day, tell us something good. We're going to wrap this day up on a positive note. We love to do that round here. We're talking about Republicans apparently down for the Doge, down for the cuts, down for stopping business as usual, so long as it doesn't impact their states.
So
some of the states, as mentioned, was Kentucky, I believe. We got Kansas out there as well. There's
Louisiana,
Iowa, Alabama. The Republicans in those states all on the record for wanting to, you know, maybe not go so as fast and make sure we fund these very important measures here in our state. We've talked about Kentucky, Grassley specifically. Also, we didn't get to Rand Paul. Here's what he had to say. Quote, this is another senator from Kentucky. We won the last election by complaining about Democrats' policies, which gave us high prices. Tariff lovers will be forced to explain the persistence of high prices, he said on X.
And the increased prices.
And prices are going up. And finally, a Democrat quoted here in the NBC article, Senator Patty Murray from Washington, the vice chair of the Appropriations Committee that oversees government funding, said Trump should go about his attempts to slash or freeze money in a different way by winning congressional approval first. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my understanding, some of the Republicans seemingly having their ducks in a row. We'll maybe get to that next week if they actually pass something in the House. Senate Republicans have their own ideas as well under Senator Graham, but I digress. Patty Murray, the Democrat from Washington, said this. Running farmers out of business, derailing infrastructure projects, cutting cancer research, and killing good-paying clean energy jobs isn't just unpopular, it's devastating for working people everywhere. And it is time Trump reverses his illegal funding freeze and DOGE cuts in their entirety. Murray told NBC News, Trump's policies are hurting communities and families in red states and blue states. If Trump and Elon want to cut funding for cancer research and infrastructure projects, they need to send us a proposal and try to win the votes in Congress to do it. Amen, Patty Murray. Mitch McConnell in his op-ed the other day, you know, lamenting the policies of his guy. brought up the whiskey, the bourbon in Kentucky. And he also mentioned the auto industry. Yeah, the auto industry. Let me go over to this one here quickly. Then we'll take your calls. 855-752-4842. The CEO of Ford, that's Ford Motor Company, or as the folks used to call it, Ford's. The CEO of Ford has warned. My aunt worked at Ford. You know, from the Michigan. I was from Detroit area. Yeah. A lot of my family worked in. How do you not, man? I mean, it's Motown. A lot of people, if you're not for the big three or the big five or all the suppliers, man, I mean, it is Motown for a reason. Now, the CEO of Ford has warned that Trump's economic policies could mean layoffs are coming to four states that voted for him. Again, Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, said Tuesday that tariffs across America, North America, could wreck the automotive industry. Let's be real honest. Long term, a 25% tariff across the Mexico and Canada borders would blow a hole in the U.S. industry that we've never seen. Frankly, it gives free rein to South Korean, Japanese, and European companies that are bringing 1.5 to 2 million vehicles into the U.S. that wouldn't be subject to those Mexican and Canadian tariffs. It would be one of the biggest windfalls for those companies ever. Damn. He added that if Trump rolls back parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, Ford could need to lay off people working on electric vehicle production. The Trump administration has also undone Biden-era electric vehicle policy. Here's what the CEO of Ford went on to say. We've already sunk capital, even though we've rationalized it, into battery production and assembly plants all through Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Many of those jobs would be at risk if big parts of the IRA are repealed. These four states supported Trump in 2024, as mentioned. And so far, Trump's economic policies have shown little regard for those who voted to put him in office. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, the man's a narcissist, doesn't care about anybody except himself. So if you were expecting some leniency, some grace from Trump, you ain't getting it.
No.
Trump, Farley said, has talked a lot about making our U.S. auto industry stronger, bringing more production here and innovation to the U.S. But so far, what we're seeing is a lot of costs and a lot of chaos. Oh, damn. Jack Ewing from the New York Times. Huh. Farley's remarks at the conference offered a rare example of a corporate executive calling into question Mr. Trump's policies or statements. In most cases, executives have either offered praise or kept quiet, apparently out of fear that they could prompt reprisals from the president. Earlier this week, Trump signed an order increasing taxes on steel and aluminum imports. This could hurt American auto manufacturers and their products more costly. Finally, Sam Fiorani from Auto Forecast Solutions said steel producers have to find ways to increase capacity, and aluminum and steel might be in short supply in the short term. Producing vehicles has a lot of moving parts, and raising the price of what is coming among the most important what is among the most important components of the vehicle is only going to raise the price of an already expensive product.
You're telling me that you need aluminum and steel to make cars?
Wow, right?
Huh. Weird.
You know, my lease is up on the Jeep coming up next month. So I have an appointment today to go look at this thing. I found a car online. You know, I got to stop by the dealership and check it out. It's a Dodge brand. But this particular Dodge is, which is owned Dodge and Jeep and Chrysler and Alfa Romeo. These are all owned by Stellantis, right?
Is that an American company?
Not really, no.
No, okay, correct.
In this particular vehicle, the Dodge Dart is literally made in I think Poland and Italy. The engines made in Poland. The vehicles assembled and created and made in Italy. Well, they're not going to have, at least as of right now, that these tariffs going on. So yeah, as to the CEO Ford's point, you buy some European vehicles, you buy a North Korean vehicle, you're gonna have to get around this. So it's going to create more opportunities for them. Again, this is changing up business as usual? Yeah. Everything's going to get more expensive. Your cars are going to get more expensive. They're not going to get cheaper. And it doesn't matter if you're from a red state or a blue state. Of course, you Reds, you voted for this. Come back with us. More of your calls, 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, just PS on the board, spinning the hits for you.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Creep Show. Love it. 855-75-CIVIC. Going to get to some callers and some texters and perhaps just a little bit more. I mean, if you see the kind of the trend here, everyone's down. At least the Republicans are all down for shaking things up and stopping business as usual, stopping the fraud, corruption, and abuse, and all those things, except when it comes to their own states, except when it comes to their state's industries, the bourbon, the automobiles, the agriculture, right? Then it becomes a problem.
Well, they didn't vote for them to feel waves. They didn't vote for the organizations and the companies in their state to feel any degree of pain. It was all to own the libs.
Owning the libs. And if this, you know, goes out, and we see this already, this is only a few weeks in, and these are Republican senators from red states.
Are we still not yet 3 weeks?
I mean, this is the third. I think this is the third, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
I know. It's going to be long. 855-752-4842. But there's also, you know, this budget that's coming up. We're talking about, you know, slashing billions of dollars from Medicaid. And a little bit here, and then we'll take the calls at 855-75-CIVIC. Republicans have made slashing hundreds of billions of dollars from Medicaid a core part of their plan to pay for the tax cuts for the rich. I mean, come on.
Money's got to come from somewhere.
I mean, so how about just not do the tax cuts? And then you can still go after waste, fraud, and abuse. Don't do the tax cuts. You know, let the taxes go up on the very rich. Oh, well. And those of us that got a little bitty bit, because most of it went to the very rich, they could pay a little more. Well, maybe, you know, if we're all going to pay a little more anyway. I mean, it's amazing how we have to accept this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans are lamenting the fact, and Donald Trump has even said today, yeah, things could potentially cost a little more. Well, what is a tax? Tax. It's money out of your pocket.
Correct.
The cost of life is a little bit more expensive. That's unacceptable under this administration because you got to have tax cuts, which, you know, keeps money in your pocket. But what the increases on the goods and the services are going to go up. That's going to be money out of your pocket. So instead of playing this game, how about we just let the tax cuts expire? Because remember when they passed them, they didn't make them permanent. They made them expire, which, of course, added trillions of dollars to the national debt back then. And certainly will, if they don't do these tax cuts, expense cuts going forward, add more to the debt. Well, if you don't mess with that side of the equation, then you don't have to mess with the other side of the equation as much. You could focus certainly still on waste, fraud, and abuse. But spending money on a product that the righties don't like, or on a service that the righties don't like USAID. But apparently some righties like it because it helps out their farmers. And it feeds billions of people, according to the Republicans we were quoting today. So if you don't mess with it, if you're not so concerned about doing Donald Trump's extending these tax cuts and just letting them expire as the original legislation written would happen, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about cutting billions of dollars out of Medicaid. A little bit more from this. And making cuts, as Republicans, could be harder than they anticipate. This is from Joanne Keenan at Politico. She said, Medicaid has evolved and expanded significantly over the years and its constituency has expanded along with it. Some 80 million people now get health care from Medicaid, including many working class voters in the president's base. Let me repeat that from Politico. Some 80 million people now get health care from Medicaid, including many working class voters in the president's base. All this, people are going to work for the Medicaid. Yeah, a lot of people are working and they're still on Medicaid. And what that tells you is that the wages aren't high enough. If you're working full time and you still qualify for Medicaid, mm-hmm. maybe we should work, if you want to work on an equation side, maybe we should work on increasing the pay for the workers, man. What does it say if you're working full time and you got to be a Medicaid for your health insurance?
80 that you live million in America.
Man. Indeed, a number of states that backed Trump voted by popular referendum to expand the program, Medicaid, over the objections of their GOP legislators. In these states, Medicaid is often the main driver preventing rural hospitals from closing.
Yeah.
Damn, right? You know the medical stuff here,
mm-hmm,
Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Republicans famously attempted to repeal the ACA under Trump's term, and all their proposals featured drastic cuts to Medicaid. Public outrage over it at the time played a big role in the Democratic landslide elections in 2018. In fact, Keenan continued, Republicans may have gotten an ominous look at just how much blowback they stand to receive from even trying to cut Medicaid. Republicans have just gotten an alarming glimpse of the future. Amid the chaos of Trump's now rescinded domestic funding freeze, Medicaid portals across the country went offline, which meant states couldn't get their Medicaid dollars. It was something the administration said was never supposed to happen and which provoked public outrage and a bipartisan outcry. Yeah, there's Republicans on Medicaid.
Indeed.
There's Republicans on the ACA.
A lot of them.
We're all in this together, man. Whether you like it or not, if you're gonna try to screw someone, given the interconnectedness of existence on this earth, and specifically in this country, and maybe in your state, and most definitely in your neighborhood, you can't get away from it. So, what exactly are you trying to prove by shaking things up and changing things, and making it different? I mean, I get it. We can look things up, but that's let have that go through the budgetary process.
That's right. We still have an actual procedure for how to change the allocation of monies in this country. Isn't that correct?
That is. And it's derived in the Congress, specifically in the House, which is closest to the people. They get elected for two-year terms. And folks, there'll be another election less than 2 years for those folks. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why this administration is trying to move so damn fast, because they know it's going to happen. If the Republicans in the House get their ducks in a row, they could actually get a budget done, which would have some of these cuts. We'll wait and see what happens. They still got to get through, even if they're able to make it all under reconciliation, which means it's a budgetary thing. You don't have to get through a 60-vote filibuster in the Senate. But they only have in the Senate, the Republicans only have two votes to lose. And Mitch McConnell apparently is very happy these days. I mean, Trump today was like questioning whether or not the dude had polio and was saying he's not there anymore. He's lost it. I mean, he's just, it's terrible the way they treat their own, man. You know what I mean? I mean, my God, he's doing stuff to Mitch McConnell you wouldn't do to a farm animal. I swear to God, it's not even right. 855-752.
You would know you worked on a farm.
You know I always work on a farm. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I was 17 years old. I used to get up at 5 o'clock every morning to go milk the cows before school. Yes, it's true.
Imprinted so deep on your soul.
L.A. Tom, you are next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, Dom. I hope the media just doesn't read their mea culpas and actually reads their votes. Because it's not what you say, it's what you do.
Amen, brother.
You can have these Republicans coming out now and trying to get the media to say, oh, no, not my state. BS. You just voted for Hegseth. You just voted for all of those people to get into different positions. You voted for OMB director, who was the head of Project 2025. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear the media hold their feet to the fire and not allow them to rechange the way that their vote actually was put out there. Their vote is what counts, not what they say to the media, not the made-up commercial they're going to do for their next election. It needs to be the way they voted right from the get-go from this new legislative session.
I hear what you're saying, Tom, and I would like to think that I am holding them to account. And, you know, NBC's reporting at least gives us the opportunity to bash them over the head with the hypocrisy and the statistics. The most, you know, 13 out of the top 20 states that they give take more money than they give to the federal government voted red. And what, the top 5 and 9 out of the top 10 who receive less money than they give to the federal government voted blue. That, I think, is something that needs to be repeated over and over and over and over again. I honestly think, man, you know, especially when you see how when the Medicaid thing went down, some of these articles were referencing about the different industries in these states. Though I think there's genuine concern among these very, I'll call them short-sighted politicians, Tom, who decided to go this route. And I can't necessarily blame them. Of course you blame them. They decided what they want to do. But it's the constituents, man. It's the mega voters who voted for Mitch McConnell, who voted for Mann, who voted for Rand Paul, who voted for the Alabama Senator Britt. It is those voters who are voting against their own self-interest in some sort of weird attempt to rein in government spending when they're the biggest recipients of government spending. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So, Tom, I think there is going to be some genuine blowback, and it's going to be felt by, unfortunately, us citizens, blue and red, and independents, and those of us who didn't even bother to vote. And you'd be worried about the size of that population, because if all of a sudden they get active because a bunch of righties wanted to own the libs and stop government spending that supported their industries, their states, their institutions, right? And then go to foreign policy and stop the USA and our soft power and all those things. And man, there is going to be a reckoning for that. And we're 3 weeks in and they're already concerned about it. We were like a half a dozen states. You got the guy, the CEO of Ford saying, dude, what? I mean, these folks have made investments in Canada, in Mexico, based on NAFTA and then the USMCA. And then the guy that signed the USMCA now is just saying, oh, to hell with that. Tariff this, tariff that. It doesn't, there's no consistency. There's no logic to it. Now, if you think that tariffs are going to increase revenue to the government, well, who pays the tariffs? That's another tax on the consumers, yo. How many taxes you want? The price of things are going to go up, right? Your taxes are going to go down?
Maybe. I mean, the last time we had that huge batch of tax cuts, my taxes didn't go down a whole lot.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but, you know, Hovde's did. Jim from Appleton, 855-752-4842. You will be next. Appleton, my old stomping grounds.
One of them.
Welcome, Jim. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Tax cuts.
Yeah.
Republicans do it all the time. Tax cuts and government should be run like a business. All right?
Mm-hmm.
What business do you know voluntarily cuts their income?
Right.
I can't think of a single one that goes out there and says, oh, I'm making too much money. I'm going to cut my income. But the Republicans all want to cut the income to the government that should be run like a business.
That is a fantastic point, Jim. Thank you for making it. Thank you for listening up in the Fox Valley. No one wants to cut the revenue. Man, if you're in business, if you're in your business, you're trying to make a profit on your product or your service, you know, you got a couple things you can do. You can try to increase revenues, right? And if all your expenses stay the same, that'll increase your profitability on the bottom line, right? The P&L statement. Or you can keep your revenues the same, but cut expenses. And also thereby, you know, put more money in your pocket. Or you can do a combination thereof. Man, I mean, there's only a few ways to do it, right? But of course, the government is not a business. It is not. This is wasn't incorporated as an LLC. It doesn't have pass-through taxes. This is an attempt by a rebel group hundreds of years ago to appreciate, identify, and acknowledge the individual's liberty, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, right? That's what government should be about. And granted, and you have all sorts of different variables in that. But at the end of the day, it's about the people and about how we want to be governed and how we're going to govern ourselves, right? We don't want a king. We don't want an unelected special government employee. Hell, apparently some Republican senators and congressmen don't even want Trump's cuts, although that's what they voted for and that's what their constituents voted for. But they're a little concerned about that. Come back with us, folks. Tell us something good. It's our last segment of the day. Hell, I don't know if you know this, but it's my last segment of the week. Jess, we're taking off tomorrow. We're going to do a best of tomorrow. That's something good. Mm-hmm. But we want to hear something good from you. 855-752-4842. End the day with a smile on your face. Share something happy and positive with our audience. 855-75-7. Coming back with your calls.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. But if you do, you got to tell us something good. That's how we roll.
Them's the rules.
That is the rule. That's how we wrap up the days these days. 855-75-CIVIC. Jess, how about you? You got something you want to share with the audience? Something good?
I always got something good. Let's see. This morning, I woke up and so... Frequently, I wake up with one of my two cats nestled either between my legs or as far into my butt as she can possibly get, depending on, you know, how I'm laying. And I was on my back, so she was between my legs and just nice and warm and lovely. And then my other cat, who is just a big orange dingbat, just comes in, starts walking all over me. But then he settled down on my chest, and I just spent 15 minutes just resting with my two cats, just enjoying it. I opened the shades so that I could see the tree that sort of hangs over by my window. I could see the snow on it, and it was just peaceful.
Peaceful.
Beautiful.
Purring cats. It's hard to get away from, like, you know, cuddling purring cat.
Oh, my God, it's so hard to get up when they're like that.
Like, if you can't sleep, just, you know, find a cat that's purring and just cuddle up. You'll eventually fall asleep.
You got something good?
Yeah. You know, number one, we're taking tomorrow off.
That's something good.
I can't wait.
It's Friday for us.
I know. Two Fridays in a row. I'm getting used to this, man. 4 days a week, 4 hours a day. That's all I got. I'm telling you.
Maximum efficiency.
That's right. Everything from there is diminishing returns. You know what I'm saying? One of the reasons taking off tomorrow, heading up with my lovely to Door County. And we're renting a place with some friends of ours. One of my friends, Maggie Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to see her this weekend as well, spend some time together. You know, as friends, we don't get to hang out much. You know, mm-hmm. we're both doing our things, and so when we get some time to hang out, it's pretty fun. So, me and Steph and Maggie and Lizzie, another couple, are going to go up and hang out in Door County. Look forward to getting away and kind of unwinding yes. a little bit. And it's kind of a drive up there, though. I mean, it's like 3 hours, three
Is
and a half
really?
Hours. Yeah, we're going up to like Sister Bay.
Okay,
so,
okay.
But it, also,
you got any plans? Or are you just going to shut out the world?
I am told what we're doing, and I just kind of follow along.
Okay. Good man.
I'll drive, but I'm not clear on the plans. I'm sure there'll be lots.
You'll find out.
Lots of food, lots of drink, lots of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'll be good. There's an like outdoor hot tub. You know, like that kind of joint.
An outdoor hot tub, but when there's snow on the ground, there are a few things in this world that are better than that.
My understanding, we're supposed to get some more snow this weekend.
That is correct.
Well,
we're supposed to get some more snow starting tomorrow, and apparently going through Sunday midday.
Damn. So you might get some of that beautiful snow, maybe be in a hot tub as the snow's coming down. There are worse things than that. 855-752-4842. Another thing. So taking tomorrow off, going up north with my wife and some friends. Going, as mentioned, going to go check out a car. I haven't gone to check out a car in a long, long time. I used to like be that guy would hit the dealerships at night or on a Sunday when they're closed, you know, just go look at cars.
Just looking around.
I love cars, man. But what I don't like is like having to get a car. Because <You know? laughs> now I got a lease. I'm like way over on the miles, you know, I'm like 20,000 miles over this car. But, you know, life has changed, you know, you just kind of roll with it, you know, driving to Racine to do the show and all this. Mazda up in Appleton. It's like, okay, so I had a little more driving than I had anticipated when I initially got there. But I get to go check out some cars, which is always fun.
That's always really exciting.
Now, paying for them, that's the part that sucks. But
right.
We love checking out the cars. And, of course, my cousin Joe works at Stellantis, mm-hmm. and so I get the good break.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. And I got my son's studio shirt on here. You see this? Son's,
I do. Yeah.
This is when we went to Memphis. Steph and I, she'll take me on random trips sometimes. And we went down to Memphis and got an Airbnb. And I'm like, oh, this will be fun. You know, the Blues and Rivertown and hanging out. And as we were walking from our Airbnb to go like to a little closer to downtown, all of a sudden I realized, oh, damn. You know, there's... That sign looks familiar. That hotel. That's where Martin Luther King Jr. got shot.
Oh, right.
And it's a museum. So all of a sudden, I was all like, "Oh, this would be great." And all of a sudden, I got really depressed. I'm like, "Oh my god!" And it's still there. I mean, it is literally a museum. The cars are still there. The furniture, the whole thing.
Frozen in time.
Frozen time. So I could not go check that
Absolutely
out.
You know, not.
So
yeah,
we
you
went
need
there.
To.
Very. I mean. That was it's as you can imagine, it's kind of tough to swallow when you think about the gravity of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went out afterwards and checked out this studio, this Sun Studios. Now this is where a famous studio in Memphis where like Elvis recorded there and Johnny Cash and a bunch of folks. And it's funny because they're. It wasn't much, man. You know what I mean? You look like, oh, okay.
Same thing
with Motown. You know, you got in Detroit, you kind of walk in the joint like, oh, I can't believe all that just Matt. Awesome music was made here. I mean, historic and stuff that changed the world is kind of this music, right? And it's made in these little crappy rooms with this.
I know. We've got a better studio here.
No, for real. So that was a lot of fun. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, I'm a t-shirt guy.
I do know that.
As I got out and I got this fine Sun Studio t-shirt, we were, you know, I was rapping with the guy that was checking us out. And now, where are you from? I don't know, we're Milwaukee. Oh, yeah, I'm playing up in Milwaukee, like, next week.
How the Milwaukee connection.
No, I'm not even kidding you. Like, next week was, like, I think it was Brady Street Fest or one of the street festivals. We walked up. We saw the dude.
Oh.
No, here's a guy that sold me my t-shirt in Memphis. He just got done playing a set on Brady Street.
That's good.
Yeah, it was super fun. So, you know, it's a small, small world. So always remember that, man. It's always gonna be like that.
Thanks for telling us some good things.
Yeah, some good stuff. So, folks, have a wonderful night. Have a wonderful weekend. A best of tomorrow. What do we got? What's coming up?
Ooh, we got revisiting our talk with Josh Call.
Bill, okay.
Going back to that lovely, lovely sermon that the Reverend Buddy delivered.
Buddy that was great.
And then
great.
We got an hour at Harvey K.
All right, folks. So tune in, check it out. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Now stick around. Pete Schwabba, Nightlight, coming up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.